Hi, this is Chad Gwinnett of Reignite Youth Ministry at Trinity Evangelical, and you are listening to Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent.
Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
Friends, we're sitting down with Bill Brassfield, and the book is Pilgrimage to Pentecost. Friends, as it says here, I just want to read it. Against the backdrop of biblical history in first century Israel, Phil Brassfield will lead you on an amazing quest to discover what really happened at Pentecost, the journey that led to it, and how it can impact your life in a fresh and powerful way. Friends, discover your own destiny as you walk with Jesus and his first disciples toward one of the great defining moments of all religious history, the outpouring at Pentecost that birthed the church. And friends, I just want to encourage you to go there, obviously purchase the book, but also I wanted to find out from you, Phil, what is your favorite chapter in the book?
Well,
I know that's a trick
I guess
question.
My favorite chapter. I mean, obviously, you know, when you pour your heart into something like this, you each chapter has some nuance or
yes.
some particular that kind of gave birth to the chapter. But I guess one that's most encouraging for me is called realization of a mission, and it relates to when Jesus was resurrected and he told Mary. And I have to tell you, if I had done the resurrection, you know, if I had done the resurrection and I was Jesus, I might have done it a little differently. I mean, the fact is, if they had have drugged me through the streets and abused me the way he was abused and treated me the way he was treated in his passion, I have to tell you, Jason, when I came out of the grave, I may have made a few unscheduled visits to some folks that had a celestial visit coming.
Hello, how are you doing? That's what I would have done.
No, but not Jesus. I mean, he makes his first post-resurrection appearance to a woman who had a past, and then makes her essentially the first bearer of the good news of the resurrection of the new covenant. But, you know, when he tells Mary, he says, I'm going ahead of the disciples into Galilee, and tell the disciples that I'll meet them there, and Peter. And I think that's a really important part, and Peter, because, you know, as an apostle, I don't think you can blow it much worse. People struggle with their failures. We all have them in our lives. But as an apostle, you don't fail much worse than denying you ever met him and swearing to God that you don't know him.
Yeah.
And Peter has been the king of failures, and here's Mary, who was the king of misfits. And Jesus clearly demonstrates in the resurrection that he's the king of both failures and misfits. And he sends the disciples to Galilee. And this is what I love about the chapter, because as I begin to think about it, I thought, okay, this is his leadership team that's blown it so badly. All right, and now he's back alive from the dead. So, you know, they've got to be thrilled with the fact that he's alive, but maybe they feel worse about themselves because they realize that just a few days before they had abandoned him when he needed them the most. So he goes into Galilee and is there fishing, of course, the story where he says, cast your nets on the other side, and they get a great catch of fish. But when they realize that Jesus is waiting on the shore for them, you know they probably had to think, oh my goodness, we just blew it so bad, and he was right. He's the resurrected Lord, and he wants to visit with us. What's he going to say? I mean, they thought, you know, maybe he's going to give us a strong rebuke or a correction. I mean, one would have imagined he would have corrected his leadership team who had just failed so badly. But when he gets them to the shore, he feeds them. And Jason, I looked in the scripture. He never even mentions their failure. He never even mentions it. Instead, he invites them back to ministry, and one principal being Peter, the king of failure, the one who had been so bad and turned his back on him at his darkest moment. And all he said to Peter is, Peter, do you love me? And Lord, Peter had to have thought, and I bring this out in the book, you know, Peter had to have thought, Lord, it sounds like you're inviting me back to ministry, but you know I can't come back. I'm the king of failure. I blew it so badly. I was a coward. And Jesus' response wasn't to say, well, yeah, you really let me down, or let me coach you through that. No, Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. And there was a revelation that they received in that moment. The scripture says that he opened their eyes of understanding so that they could comprehend the scriptures, and he explained to them again how the law and the prophets and the Psalms spoke of him. So here are the disciples sitting at the feet of the resurrected Lord, and they still didn't get it. They hadn't figured it all out. They knew he was alive, but they didn't know what it all meant. And so the loving nature of Jesus to take that time with them in Galilee and teach them and explain to them again how all the dots connected and how the sacrificial system of the Old Testament was a shadow of him and the tabernacle and the temple and all the things that we study about in the Old Testament were really perfectly revealed in him. Well, we know that the impact of that revelation that they received in Galilee was so powerful that as best we know from history, every one of them would eventually, except John, be martyred and yet never deny him again. And what they learned there, they would teach and preach to the outermost parts of the world. And then, of course, at the end of that seminar, he said, now you understand, I'm paraphrasing, now you understand that there's still something you need for you to embrace your destiny fully. You need power. You don't just need passion. You don't just need purpose. You need power from God to accomplish your mission in life. He says to them, so return to Jerusalem. And he sends them back for what would eventually become the day of Pentecost when the church would be born.
And when the power comes.
That's right.
Is that
That's
cool
right.
or what? I just get so excited. I'm telling you, it just pumps me up because I think we as Christians in today's society, I don't know if we really grab hold of what really took place then. I mean, they experienced that and we realized... how do I put this? For the first time, they experienced that. I think that's so cool.
Yes. Well, and I'll tell you, I'll make a bold statement, and,
yeah.
and I say it respectfully and carefully, but so often we disconnect the day of Pentecost from Calvary and the resurrection as if they were unrelated. But the truth is, if you consider the movement, the redemptive movement of God moving on this journey, Calvary was not the destination, neither was the resurrection. They were parts of the journey. I mean, for example, for us to say that the cross, for example, was the end of redemption is like saying to a pregnant woman that the purpose of the pregnancy was the labor. You know, we would all know that the purpose of the pregnancy is not the suffering, it's the baby.
Okay.
And the labor was endured. Jesus endured the cross for what would be produced as a result. And what would be produced as the result of the cross was the opportunity for all of mankind to receive forgiveness by being washed in his blood. And the church being born was what he purchased at the cross. And so the power that comes on the day of Pentecost was for us to take this good news of the gospel around the world. And the good news is that Jesus suffered on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And he came out of the grave, victorious over death held in the grave, so that I could have victory not only in life, but in the life to come. And that power was released on the day of Pentecost. I see it as one seamless event that began, one redemptive event that began, and even in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell, but, you know, through all the law and the prophets and Moses and the nation of Israel and the Torah and the Jews, and God just kept moving that redemptive movement toward its climax at the day of Pentecost when the church, this new covenant people called Christians, for the kingdom of God would be introduced on earth and the citizens of this kingdom would be called Christians. The cross paid for it. The resurrection approved it. And the power to release it came on the day of Pentecost.
Friends, we've been sitting down with Phil Brassfield. He is the author of Pilgrimage to Pentecost, Discovering the Passion, Purpose, and Power of Your Destiny. And you can find him at philbrassfield.com. That's philbrassfield.com. And as we get out of here, Phil, I see basically it says coaching by Dr. Phil Brassfield. And if you could help people understand, why should they even obviously get the book, but after that, then what maybe, direction could they go?
Well, I mean, if you're speaking in relationship to what we do,
yes.
I do coach and work principally with leaders. And so if they're interested in developing a coaching relationship or having me help them, they can go to the website. There's a tab that says coaching, and it kind of explains it. And also there's a form that they can send in, and we'll contact them with the next step. But I think in a general sense for all believers, once they read the book and they see clearly, hey, God has a purpose for my life, And I shouldn't think because I'm going through stuff that God doesn't have a plan for my life, but that I should keep walking through what, you know, where I am by faith, trusting God to lead me on toward that moment. And I would just say to them that to find a great church, to find a Bible-believing church where they can be discipled, and where people who, in a covenant community, where people of faith can help them find their path and their journey. And I would just say, join the journey. It's going to be a lifetime process. And there'll be moments where there'll be highs and lows, but keep trusting and believing God to bring you into His purpose. And I do believe this, Jason. I believe that we can't miss God's plan for our life if we are yielded totally to the will of God. Mm. You know, my job is simply to say yes to God. It's His job to lead me on. And He'll give us light and show us the way if we'll walk by faith.
Amen. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for sharing that. And again, we've been sitting down with Phil Brassfield, and he is the author of Pilgrimage to Pentecost. And friends, if you're listening and you're going, well, I don't have internet access, I'm going to give you a phone number that you can call them at then. It's 501-887-9933. Again, that's 501-887-9933. And you can contact them, and just I encourage you to do that. Again, Phil Brassfield, and Phil, we just appreciate you taking time with us here.
Well, thanks so much for the opportunity, Jason. It's really been a blessing to me, and I just pray as people pick up the book that it's a blessing to them, and it aids them in discovering God's ultimate purpose for their life. And as they call, should they call us, and if they just need prayer, our team's happy to pray with them. Mm-hmm. We love people, no strings attached. We don't have to sell you anything. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to do what God's called us to do, and that is be a blessing to the body of Christ and encourage people to find Jesus and find new life in Him.
Mm, amen. Friends, again, just encourage you, Pilgrimage to Pentecost. And this is author Phil Brassfield we've been interviewing today. Go check that out. And again, we thank you for listening, and do not keep silent.
Find us online at worldviewwarriors.org.